you guys. Welcome back to Flickers of Fear. So you guys know, I mean, anyone who has been around here for any length of time at all knows that I love Dario Argento. Just recently, in fact, I picked 1977's Suspiria as one of my all-time favorite horror films. That was over on Scare Salon. I did kind of like a, you know, best horror films of every year since I was born. Suspiria being one of my favorites from 1977, but like I said, not just one of my favorites from 1977, it's one of my favorites of all time. I'm also a really big fan of Dario Argento's early giallo films, Bird with a Crystal Plumage, you know, Deep Red, Tenebrae, Opera, several of which I've covered on, you know, various posts and videos. Now, in my opinion, I think I've brought this up before, but I think that probably, in my opinion, 1996's Stendhal Syndrome was his last really good film. Some of his post-1990s work did have some flashes of brilliance here and there, but I kind of feel like after that, the movies that he did after that sort of ranged from just mediocre to actively awful, and in that latter category, obviously, I'm mostly looking at that CGI Praying Mantis from Dracula 3D, which was just a shit show of epic proportions. But in spite of all this, knowing all of this as I do, I was actually super jazzed for, you know, at this point, Dario Argento being 82 years old, but I was really looking forward to him returning to the director's chair for the 2022 film Dark Glasses, which I've also seen called Black Glasses, and I think that that's because the Italian title, which is Occhiali Neri, if I pronounce that even remotely correctly, I'm pretty sure I didn't, that's what that translates to. That actually translates to Black Glasses, but I think in the United States, at least, it's called Dark Glasses. So I was really, really excited about it, and Shudder just added it not too long ago. I didn't get to see it in the theater. I think it did get a limited theatrical release, but I don't know if it played around here. Now, going into it, like, I knew that I was going to be, you know, have to manage my expectations somewhat, because I knew that any new movie that he made wasn't going to approach the same exalted realm as his classics, obviously, because nothing he's made since the 90s has, you know, and he's, you know, quite an elderly man now, so, but I was still curious, like, to see what he was going to do. But, you know, I couldn't help but be cautiously optimistic, though, like, as I sat down in front of Shudder with my little cup of coffee to, like, watch this movie. So how was it? It was fine. It was fine. Solid 6 or 7, if I wanted to break it down to a numerical score, which I don't usually do because, like I said, it's a little bit reductive. It was, like, kind of subdued, and it was a little bit predictable. Maybe even in spots, like, a little bit clunky, I kind of felt like. The acting was kind of hit or miss. It was mostly good, but, you know, some of the stuff was not that great. I will say that the suspense was almost non-existent because, for various reasons, but one of the reasons being that the killer was revealed far too early, and there were a couple of sequences in there that made absolutely no sense and were just sort of really, really dumb, especially in regard to some baffling decisions that some of the characters made and the way that they reacted or underreacted to certain events. I'm trying not to give too much away because this movie's brand new, but, you know, so there was some negatives there. On the other hand, though, it did have a handful of some enjoyably nasty gore sequences, particularly toward the beginning, and had some decent visuals, some nice camera work, nothing overtly, like, or more operatic or over the top like his early stuff, but still, like, really, really nice cinematography. Had a good score by the French musician Arnaud Rebutini. I think Daft Punk was supposed to do the score, but they broke up, so they dropped out, so they got somebody else to do it. And I have to say that I kind of have been seeing, like, mixed reviews of the acting in this, like, generally, but, and like I said, I agree with some of it, like, in some of the peripheral characters and whatnot, but I will say that the kind of the two lead performances, which are by Elenia Pastorelli, she's, like, at the main role, and Ozzy Argento, who's kind of, like, a significant supporting character, were actually largely good. I thought they did really well. The characters here, matter of fact, were actually, like, pretty interesting, I thought, and quite sympathetic, and that went a long way toward getting me, like, emotionally invested in the story and, like, caring about what happened to them, because I thought they were interesting, compelling characters. Keep in mind, though, that this is more on the giallo end of the scale rather than, like, the straightforward horror end. Matter of fact, I'd probably call this a thriller that just happens to have a couple of, like, really excessively gruesome murders in it, rather than a more traditional horror movie per se. So from what I could determine, this was actually adapted from an old screenplay. Like, I guess like Dario Argento and Franco Farini and Carlo Lucarelli, they wrote it like a long time ago, like 20 years ago, back in 2002, and then just kind of like stuffed it in the attic somewhere. And then I think Ozio Argento found it and like brought it out and was like, hey, maybe you should, you know, we should like work on this or collaborate on this. And Ozio Argento actually serves as an executive producer on it. So Dark Glasses actually starts out with a touch of foreshadowing, I guess, as our main protagonist, who's kind of like a high-end sex worker named Diana, and she slaps on the titular accessories, the dark glasses, in order to look at a solar eclipse. Now, little does she realize that this eclipse is actually kind of like a symbol of her impending descent into darkness, I guess you could call it, in more ways than one. Meanwhile, there's a serial killer on the loose in Rome, and he's targeting upscale escorts. And one early victim actually meets a very, very grisly end. She gets, like, garroted in the street by a guy that jumps out of some bushes and stuff, and it's pretty nasty, you know what I mean? Pretty nasty, like, you can see, like, the trachea, like, popping out and stuff like that, and I'm like, yep, that's Dario, all right, you know what I mean? And he just, like, lingers on it. Yeah, it's pretty gross. So after this whole serial killer thing is established, we kind of like return to Diana's character and we get a little bit of a glimpse into her regular like workaday life, which, you know, consists of, you know, she's an escort. So, you know, you have some very kindly generous clients and then you have like a smattering of violent douchebags. So, you know, so not too long into the proceedings, Diana becomes the next target, the next focus of the killer. And one night he starts chasing her, like she gets in her car and like takes off and he starts chasing her with his, you know, standard issue white van, which I think actually started out as a black van, but then like he paints it at some point like to keep from getting caught. So during this car chase, Diana actually ends up smashing into another vehicle, which contains a Chinese family. So like the father who's driving the car is killed. The mom is injured so bad that she's in a coma. And the young son in the back seat, whose name is Chin, he's actually played by Andrea Chang, is completely unharmed. So Diana is actually blinded in the accident and the doctors aren't real confident that she's ever gonna get her sight back. So obviously she's very dispirited by this and Diana goes end up going back home, but she gets cheered up somewhat by the burgeoning friendship with her very compassionate caseworker whose name is Rita, who's played by Ozio Argento, who's actually like great in this role. I almost didn't recognize her because, you know, usually if Dario Argento is going to put Ozio in a movie, you know, it's going to be like more of like a sexy, vampy kind of role, and there's usually nudity. But she's actually not naked in this one, and she's actually just like more of a regular woman. I don't want to say like dowdy or like plain necessarily, but they definitely like do de-glam her a little bit, and I think she does like a really, really great job. She's like a really good character. So she basically comes on board, and she's helping Diana to adjust to her disability, you know what I mean? Like showing her to use the white cane and how to use, like, all of the resources that are available to her, you know. One of these adjustments includes the procuring of a seeing eye dog, a very good girl named Nerea, who actually factors into the plot later on. I was actually, as soon as the dog was introduced, I immediately got really anxious because I was just kind of like, nothing bad better happen to that dog. I don't know. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Not too much of a spoiler alert, but I just want to tell people it's like, the dog's okay. You know what I mean? The dog doesn't get killed. I'll just put that in there because I know people are like sensitive. I'm sensitive about that kind of stuff too. And like, I like to know ahead of time just so I can like prepare myself, but like the dog's okay. The dog doesn't get hurt. So not only is Diana kind of like frustrated at her new limitations, I guess, she also feels horribly, horribly guilty about her part in the accident that ended up taking away Chin's parents, you know, the kid that was in the backseat of the car. So she actually goes to visit him at the orphanage, and he's initially, like, pretty hostile, like, because he blames her for the accident, but he eventually kind of comes around, and really he does kind of, like, a whole 180, because he decides that he likes Diana so much that he runs away from the orphanage and goes and, like, hides out in her house, like, he wants to stay with her, which actually ends up causing some trouble with the Child Protective Services, with the authorities, like, down the line, as you might imagine. Although it doesn't cause quite as much trouble as you might think, which is which is a little weird, but okay. So as Diana is kind of becoming acclimatized to her new reality, the killer is actually still stalking her because, you know, she got away and could potentially identify him, although it seems more like a personal vendetta, to be honest. It's never really made clear. And because of her blindness, she's actually more vulnerable than she was before, obviously. Of course, she still has her support system. She has, you know, Rita, who's very reliable, and Chin, who helps her out. He kind of, like, essentially, like, moves into her apartment and, like, helps her out with her day-to-day stuff, like grocery shopping and everything. But, you know, the fact that the murderer is still pursuing her for whatever reason puts their lives in danger as well. And it all kind of, like, builds up to, not gonna lie, kind of like a tepid climax, like, in the third act, as Diana kind of becomes forced to confront the killer, like, they're all trying to, like, figure out, like, how they can take him out or whatever. So, as I mentioned, this one isn't great, but it's not really all that bad either. It's certainly a lot better than his last Abomination, which, as I mentioned, was Dracula 3D from 2012. And in a lot of ways, it's kind of a throwback to the giallo films of the 70s, or maybe, I guess, like a pastiche of Dario Argento's own previous works in that subgenre. It does have a few moments of batshittery, especially the one bewildering scene, which everybody's talking about with the water snakes, which I won't spoil. And the characters themselves, like, sometimes make some perplexing choices. Like, for example, I think, like, even the main character, she does some weird shit too, but the thing that I mostly wanted to point out was the two cops who are kind of investigating, I guess they're maybe investigating the serial killer too, but they're kind of, like, investigating Chin's whereabouts, because, like I said, he ran away from the orphanage and they're not really sure where he went. They kind of pull some questionable shit toward Diana and then seemingly forget any police training that they may have received, like, when the killer, like, kind of comes toward them, like, in his van or whatever. But, you know, I don't want to get, like, lean too hard into that, because maybe, for all I know, like, Italian police really are this antagonistic and kind of witless. So, for all I know, this portrayal could be entirely accurate. I don't know. If there's any Italians out there, like, let me know. Maybe this completely tracks. I don't know. The best parts of the movie, I gotta say, were the first act, you know, with kind of had all the murders and gore, because there's not really a lot of murders or gore. I mean, there's gore, but it's pretty, like, few and far between. There's not, like, a lot of murders. But I liked the first act, and surprisingly, I liked the second act, which was mostly just Diana and Rita, like, and Chin, and Diana, like, adjusting to her blindness. And also, like, you know, the murder mystery stuff, like, the killer was kind of, like, lurking around in the background, too, and, like, kind of her trying to, like, figure out where he was at and, like, if he was coming after her and shit. Like, but the murder mystery thing was kind of in the background. So it was just kind of, like, her adjusting to the blindness. And I actually kind of like that, because it gave something of a depth to the characters that, I mean, usually in Argento's films, you know, he's more of a visuals guy. He's more of, like, I don't want to say a plot guy, because he's not. But he doesn't usually, like, give his characters a lot of depth, because he's just concerned with, like, the visuals and the set pieces and stuff like that. So this actually was a lot more character focused than his stuff usually is. I have to say, though, the third act, though, which is mainly, like, comprised of, like, just an extended chase or an extended escape from the killer, you know, trying to outwit him or whatever, it felt kind of oddly inert and a little bit underwhelming. And the final scene was just, like, really flat and strange. I didn't really, like, get it. I thought it was, like, building up to something, and I was just like, oh, that's it? All right. If you want to end your movie like that, it was just, I don't know, it was just very, very odd. And also, I have to say, unlike a standard giallo film, because this is technically a giallo film, I guess, even though there's some aspects of it that aren't, but unlike your standard giallo film, there weren't really a bunch of, like, potential suspects or, like, red herrings to focus on. I guess there were some, but not really that many. It wasn't really pushed all that hard. And in any case, like, the killer was actually pretty obvious quite early on in the film, and I kind of feel like maybe Dario Argento realized this and actually revealed the killer fully about halfway through the not very long film. I think the movie's only 86 minutes. Might not even have been halfway, now that I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure exactly at what point, but I was just like, oh, okay, we're showing the killer now, and we're not even pretending that it's a secret. Okay, fair enough. But yeah, so there was that. But the fact that he did that, though, I feel like it kind of, like, drained the movie of any suspense, because there wasn't really any mystery to it. It was just more like, oh, that's who the killer was, which we kind of suspected all along anyway. And, you know, as soon as he was introduced, and then it's like the rest of it is just kind of like getting away from him kind of thing. You know what I mean? There wasn't any mystery as like, oh my God, it was really that guy, or no twists or nothing like that. So like I said, that's what I meant about it being kind of predictable, was that there weren't really any twists or surprises in the story. I have to say too, that the killer's motivation for his crimes were kind of like underwritten and like a little bit lame. You know what I mean? It just seemed, again, like a, it was just kind of like meh, you know what I mean? I sound like I'm shitting on this, and I'm really not. I did actually enjoy this movie. I did find it interesting enough. It wasn't boring or nothing like that. So in spite of all these negatives and caveats and stuff like this, I actually would recommend this to Argento fans who were curious to see it. But I'm also recommending that you go into it without expecting much. You might be pleasantly surprised if you go in expecting it to suck. It actually doesn't suck. It's actually like pretty good. But if you go into it like expecting that it's gonna suck, or expecting it's gonna be like Dracula 3D, then I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, because it's like much, much better than that. I don't think Dark Glasses will turn any new fans onto his work necessarily. And to be frank, like, I think that if this hadn't been made by Dario Argento, I think it'd probably just be like a middling movie, and like everyone would just kind of like forget about it in a couple of months. But on the other hand, as a director, he's certainly done way, way worse movies than this. It was absolutely decent enough to kind of make me excited, make me hope that he'll live long enough to make another movie, because I think there were some interesting ideas in here, particularly if he wants to go the giallo route, that I think could be like amped up, or kind of like, you know what I mean? I still want to see what he can do, even though he's older now. And this actually kind of like, even though it wasn't fantastic, it actually made me like, oh, well, if he makes another movie, like, we'll see what you know what I mean? So it like really did, it was a little bit of a pleasant surprise. I don't know if I was necessarily expecting it to suck, but I went into it thinking that it wasn't going to be very good, and it was actually like better than I was expecting it to be. So let's call it that. So if you've seen it, let me know what you thought about it in the comments, and that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. I'll see you guys again on the next one. Bye.